to hear the good news. You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon and Shabbat Shalom. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo from Aliyah Ministries International. And once again this afternoon, we are filling in for Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, who are in the recovery stage, whose prayers, your prayers, are coveted to cover them and continue to seek the Lord for their recovery, for they have been healed,
yes,
by the stripes of Yeshua. And right now I'd like to hand things over to my bride, Wendy, sweetheart.
All right. Just want to let you know that Spirit of Prophecy Ministries is meeting at Stewart Alliance Church. Address is 445 Southeast Osceola Street in Stewart. That's by the Martin Memorial North Hospital. We meet on Saturdays, 2 to 4 for Shabbat. The phone number for Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna to get in touch with them is 772-285-7007. And our radio program is Raising the Standard. It's on Saturdays from 12 to 1 on WCNO Radio 89.9. And if you're not by your radio, you can get us on the internet. So wherever you are in the world, you can still hear the preaching of the word. Now, to recap what we were discussing last week on the program, we were speaking on Aliyah of the Jewish people, which is the immigration, the returning to their land, Eretz Israel, and the kingdom of God within us. We still have a teaching left from last week on the kingdom of God within us. And we will introduce the wedding of the Messiah. God placed within us a unique demonstration of His ability and glory. We were born into a government of heaven. By knowing and activating this power through the Holy Spirit, we are perfecting the kingdom power within us. A lamp is not to be hidden. It's to be put on a stand to shine. So let's let our light shine before men, Don't hide yourself away from people, but represent the kingdom by exposing your light to others. We ought to stir ourselves up by speaking in tongues. Honor God's gifting of talents within you. You are His masterpiece, created for good works. You are special. You are an answer to somebody's problem. You are needed. So get out of your hibernation. You can lift yourself out of your depression, your loneliness, by helping others. In helping others, you will find you will be helping yourself. You will forget your pain, your grief, your problems. Be a blessing to someone in need, and then you too are blessed. You will have a purpose. It's all about that which we have freely received. We freely give love, compassion, understanding. Remember, saints, in Proverbs 23:7, the King James Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. What you believe is what you will experience and become. Now, I just want to share something that's very personal with me. It's my part of my testimony. It's how God worked in me and through me to bring hope to those that don't have hope, those that are the elderly, that are put away sometimes in nursing homes. And are forgotten about. So in my dark moment, as I was just crying out to the Lord, I wanted to commit suicide because the darkness was so dark. And I just didn't know how to get out of that pit. So I called upon Jesus. And He sent His Holy Spirit. And from that moment, I was filled with such love and joy and hope. And where I was living, it was out in the country, about an hour and a half from here. I didn't have any friends or anybody that I could rely on. So I was all alone in my house that I had just bought and just sitting around, but I had the Word with me. And I just washed myself in the Word. And it filled me up with such strength and such surety. And the Lord placed upon my heart something that was very near and dear to me, the elderly. Because I always loved being around my grandma. So I have this dog that I had rescued. His name is Harley. And so the Lord said, why don't you go to the nursing home? So I went to the nursing home that was around the corner from where my apartment was, and I walked in there, and I asked if I could visit with my dog. Those that he wanted to say hello to. And sometimes he would even jump up on their lap and he would lick them. He would kiss them. And we would be there for hours. And I don't know who was enjoying it more. He would, Harley, because he had this dreamy look in his eyes as his little velvet ears that stood straight up. Harley. His ears that stood up were like velvet. And there was this one lady who had nobody that would visit her. And she would just stroke his ears, and his eyes would become like half-masked, like he was going to sit there and fall asleep. And another lady who I got to know, the family, they thanked me so much for everything that I was doing. And they thanked me for Harley, because all her mother would talk about was Harley this and Harley that, and he'd sit on my lap and he'd come into bed with me. And that was Harley's purpose, to give love. To give love. That's our purpose, to give love, the love of the Lord. So whatever your situation is, you can get through it when you have the Holy Spirit that lives within you. You have the love of the Lord. I needed love myself. And so, by giving to others, by not thinking, by taking my eyes off of myself, and I looked to others, and I stopped making excuses. Oh, I can't do that. I'm afraid. What are they going to say? Just do it, because you have that power. You have the power of God inside of you, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So I was built up with the love, because I felt insecure. So just remember that you can serve somehow. You can do something for the kingdom. As it says in Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. So let's not be lazy. Let's not be limited in provision, not having enough. Let's be conscientious and unlimited in the provision of God. And Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. What are you doing for the kingdom? How do you represent? In 1 Corinthians 12, 18 and 19, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Saints, we must first have biblical knowledge of the scriptures and then Holy Ghost understanding. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple, the unlearned. And in John 8:31 and 32, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our eyes of understanding must be enlightened. In Ephesians 1:16 through 21, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul to the believers in Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. By asking Adonai for eyes of understanding, you will deepen your love and devotion for him. He will give you insight by the Holy Spirit beyond the natural human ability to attain. It opens the window of your soul to the spirit realm. Remember, the kingdom of heaven and God are spiritual realms. It's a faith factor. Faith acts as an activator or door opener into the spiritual realm. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But it's up to you to partake of God's gifts to you. The Holy Spirit is moving on our behalf to work things out. He is ruling in us to make us more righteous, more peaceable, and more joyful. There are actually 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we allow the Holy Spirit to rule and conquer our selfishness, our pride, our immorality, and replace it with Christian-like righteousness, then we will not grieve the Holy Spirit and will walk in the Spirit of the Kingdom of God. It's right living. Abba Father gave us supernatural gifts that manifest themselves through the Holy Spirit. This is an integral part of the equipment that every saint should manifest. Yeshua has willed the gifts to the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit still divides and distributes to individuals as he desires. The 9 gifts of the Spirit are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the work of the Holy Spirit and the advancing of the Kingdom of God are in the same thing. This is what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 12:28. Jesus said, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the Kingdom of God has come upon you." In other words, the work of the Spirit is the presence of the Kingdom of God. God's reign in us is exercised through His Spirit. But we must seek first the Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Psalm 35, verse 27 and 28. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteousness, my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let is a command word. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. We should pray this back to the Lord each day. Claim it for yourself, no matter what your situation is. Whether you have money or you don't, claim you have prosperity. The Lord takes pleasure in our prosperity, in every area of our lives, relationships, financial, jobs. The kingdom of God is not of lack. We are not to be in poverty, but we must be in right alignment with God's kingdom. Do it God's way. We have been given God's authority to rule over situations in our life. As it says in Mark 11:23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." We must learn to operate in the kingdom of God. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And we repeat this out loud. We must learn to operate in the kingdom of God. We say it to ourselves. We say it. We look in the mirror and we say it. Jesus spoke a parable about talents. There's money given to servants. One 5 talents, another 2, another 1. The one that received 5 and then gained 5 upon trading. Same as the one that received 2 and gained 2 also. But the one who received 1, he feared and hid his by digging in the earth. The first received from the Lord. And he heard, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The last man feared and hid his talent. And the Lord said of him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." So we see what manner of man we should be. In Matthew 25:13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And Matthew 25:34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We will see the coming together of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, Jew and Gentile, at the wedding of the Messiah. And now I'm going to leave you with this beautiful, picturesque promise scripture of the Lord. It happened to come up on my daily Bible verse today as I was finish my writing. This came up, and I said, this is the perfect thing. This is the kingdom. This is the wedding. Zechariah 9:16, "And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land." And now we're going to start the wedding of the Messiah, which my husband will now teach on.
Well, that was wonderful. Do you know how much time the Lord Yeshua, when he was upon the face of this earth, preached and taught on the kingdom of God? Now, as a preacher myself, I know I've spent many, many hours preparing messages for my flock. And even as an evangelist, when we were on the road, I did the same thing. But it's only been lately that we have received revelation regarding the kingdom, how exciting the kingdom is, and that the kingdom was first and foremost upon Yeshua's heart. And when he spoke to us in Matthew 6, 32 and 33, about the cares and the woes of the world, and how he took great effort to provide even for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and then came right back to us and talked to us about our cares and our worries and the things that distract us from the world. And then he came back with a very, very powerful, powerful word. A word that speaks to what my heart and has spoken to my heart, particularly over the last couple of years. When Yeshua himself said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added unto you." You see, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then we set our priorities straight. If from the very moment that we arise in the morning, we acknowledge that we are a son or daughter of the living God, and that his kingdom indwells us. Oh, what a difference it makes. It's all a question of priorities. What and who comes first? And so as we get into the wedding of the Messiah today, I want you to understand that what we're talking about is a marriage contract. The whole Bible is actually a marriage contract. But instead it's called covenant. God has given us the first covenant. Some call it the Old Testament. There's really nothing old about it. Mm-hmm. It's really very exciting.
It's timeless.
It's the first covenant that God has given to us. And then he went on to give us another covenant, a new covenant. And in that new covenant, we see a description as to how Yeshua, the Messiah, is the bridegroom who is in the process of marrying his church, the ecclesia. Who is the ecclesia? The ecclesia are the called out ones. They are ones who are called out. They are the faithful who will ultimately live and dwell with Yeshua forever. At the time that he returns and rules and reigns over the entire earth. So the ecclesia has been called out. The ecclesia has been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So any one of you who are his children, who have been saved, who are born again, who were at one time walking in darkness and are now walking in light, are part of that ecclesia, the family of God here upon earth. Now, God has ordained and established marriage and its divine sanctity in the Torah. In the very first book of the Torah, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. When he brought the man, Adam, and the woman, Eve, together to become one flesh. Listen to what the Word of God says in Genesis 2, starting in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up with flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, oh, I can just see Adam saying this with great excitement when he sees this beautiful woman. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman.
Woo-hoo!
Because she was taken out of man. Oh, he liked this woman. He liked this creation from God. And why wouldn't he? God created her, and on top of everything else, she was naked. That's cool. And therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So God did an awesome, awesome work here, because in Genesis 2:18, he says, after he has gone through every step of creation and said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, for the first time in Genesis 2:18, God, in effect, makes a negative statement, and he says, it is not good for the man to be alone. And so what does he do? He creates a woman to come alongside of the man. You see, Adam is a type of the Messiah. Adam was made after the likeness of Yeshua. We see that in Romans 5:14. Now, Yeshua was made in the likeness of Adam. We see that in Philippians 2:8. In fact, Yeshua is called the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45-47. But in Genesis 2:21, we see that God had a deep sleep fall upon Adam. In the Bible, sleep is often synonymous with death. The deep sleep that God caused to come upon Adam is a foreshadow of the death of Yeshua. Now note, Yeshua has two Jewish titles, both referring to his two roles and functions that he carried out here on earth. The first refers to his role of suffering and death, called Messiah ben Joseph, Messiah the son of Joseph. The second refers to his role as the ruling and reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, called Messiah ben David, Messiah the son of King David. So God brought a deep sleep to fall upon Adam so he could take a rib from the side of his flesh. This required the shedding of blood. So now we see this as a picture or image of Yeshua who first of all was pierced in his side of his flesh, shedding his own blood. From the rib of Adam, God made Eve. Likewise, by the death of Yeshua and faith in him, God established his assembly of believers called the Ecclesia. Let's read about it in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. The centurion is speaking here. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came, and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. He certainly did. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So we see how the kingdom of God has come through Yeshua Messiah. We see how The assembly of believers, called the Ecclesia, was established. Therefore, the believers in Yeshua become his espoused or betrothed as a chaste virgin in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. The Word of God says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So here the Lord is saying that he is jealous for us with a godly jealousy, and he has espoused us to one husband, the husband that we are betrothed to, dear saints, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, to Yeshua. How is this accomplished? First of all, it is accomplished simply because we are married to Yeshua by faith. And this marriage can be seen in the Old Covenant as in Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 5 and then 6, "As it is written, this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." And then in Jeremiah 33, verse 15 and 16, it is written, "This is the name wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness." So from these verses in Jeremiah, we can see that a wedding is taking place. In Jeremiah 33, verse 15 and 16, the words come forth, "The Lord our righteousness," which is not in all capital letters, thus revealing that she has been married to the Messiah. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? That God loves us so very much that he desires to enter into covenant with us.
Yes, he does.
And his covenant is very close to and very much akin to the marriage covenant between a man and a woman. When God saw fit to bring Wendy into my life, it was at a time that I was going through a grieving, a time when I was going through great pain, confusion, and I cried out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I need a godly woman to be at my side. I need a godly woman to share my life with. I need a woman that I can confide in, a woman that I can befriend, a woman that I can share my confidences with and my heart with, a woman that only you could provide." And so I cried out to the Lord, and I believe the Lord and I waited upon the Lord. And as I waited upon the Lord each day, I would remind him of my request. And one day I remember very clearly, I said to the Lord, Lord, you know me better than anybody else. You know exactly what I need and who I need. Lord, can I make one further request? Lord, you know I have a heart for Israel and the Jewish people. Lord, could you give her that very same heart as well? So when the time comes for us to enter into relationship, to enter into this covenant, that our hearts will be knit and our hearts will be united so that the two of us together can be in agreement and of one accord. Lord, this would be a wonderful, wonderful addition to my request, which I know is way, way, way over the horizon right now for me. Well, praise the Lord Yeshua, Baruch Hashem Adonai. When God brought Wendy into my life, I wasn't expecting that she would be Jewish and that the Lord would unite the two of us together as Jew and Gentile, as one man in the faith, so that we could walk hand in hand in this ministry that He has called us to the Jewish people.
Oh, happy days.
Oh, happy days. Yes, happy days.
Yes.
And so there was Wendy going to the same church that I was going to on Friday evenings, Shabbat, and even Saturday afternoons when we closed out the Shabbat. There was she right under my eyes. But I didn't see her. Sure, I noticed her as a sister, but it was almost like I was asleep. It was almost like I was in a fog. It was almost like I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't really understand what God was doing until one Sunday afternoon after church at Spirit of Prophecy, by the way, when we were having a communal meal together, and I was sitting next to Pastor Donna and across from Wendy, when all of a sudden, how many of you know that God oftentimes moves in suddenlies? Isn't that right? Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, it was like He woke me up out of a sleep, a deep sleep, and I started laughing hysterically. Oh, was I laughing and laughing and laughing. And everyone in the church was looking at me as though I had lost my mind, as though something was radically wrong with me. I knew I was touched by the Holy Ghost. I knew I was being touched by the Holy Ghost. But I couldn't understand what was happening to me. And it wasn't until that evening when I went home and tried to sleep, and during my sleep, I continued to see Wendy's
my
very,
beautiful
very
face.
Pretty place, face. And I said to myself, what is this? Why am I seeing Wendy's face? The face that I had seen kind of from afar, kind of from a distance, saw her as a sphere in the Lord. Why all of a sudden was her face appearing to me over and over and over again through the evening? And then it wasn't until the next morning when I awoke from my sleep and sat on the edge of my bed, and now her face was almost visibly placed right in front of me. I said, Lord, are you speaking to me? Lord, who is this woman? I really don't know very much about her. Lord, could she be the one? Hey, Lord, I remember she's Jewish. Could that possibly be the key here? And so after making a phone call to a dear friend who knew her, I went on to get up the nerve to ask her for a cup of coffee. And so we soon found out that not only had God been speaking to me, but that God had been speaking to her as well. So you see, when God puts two people together, when God marries us, he means business. And so Yeshua means business. He is wooing us.
Yes, he is.
He is coming after us with a jealousy and a oneness of purpose. And he is bringing us closer and closer to him in a very intimate, personal relationship. That's what God desires for each one of us. As husbands and wives, we come into that close, personal relationship through the marital bond and the marital covenanting. That's exactly what Yeshua is desiring for us. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Jewish wedding ceremony and the different steps that are a part of it. Tune in next week.
And this is Raising the Standard, Saturdays 12 to 1.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.